Welcome back, and I hope we are flowing together. Feel free to call us if you think you have a better understanding or you want to add to this light that God has graciously given us under the perfecting ministry. We go to the next parable, and we'll be looking at it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. He said, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Listen very carefully. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, listen very well, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Because the Pharisees are too holy to stay with people who are, everybody know they are corrupt people, like, thieves and all this. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, because and what they were doing was the law. They answered them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Hey, what he's saying there is, you people claim you are holy now, so you don't need me. These ones are the ones that I have work to do on. Then he said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. And you have seen it in your scriptures. Because Moses said it. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You don't understand mercy. You know, they were under a law, the law. And that is what they are reading. The next thing was, that was what they were practicing. And that was evidence of the strict followers of the law. Another point, he came up again. They came to him, again, the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your own disciples will not fast? And Jesus said unto them, you see, they're going back to the law. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? You see, no. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. You still continually speak to them in parables and parables and parables. But my emphasis is from verse 16, which was the summary of him trying to make them understand why he was doing whatever he was doing. No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So what is the emphasis here? The emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking here, the parable of new wines in new bottles. That's my emphasis here. This one parable. What he's saying here is, you are coming to me. I want you to note this. The bottle he's talking of, it's not your Ragolis bottle. It's not your glass bottles of beer that was people drink. The bottles here are containers that we are made from animal skin. You know, when it's fresh, it's elastic. But when it gets old, it becomes hard. It's no longer elastic. And when the elasticity is destroyed, and you try to create any problem that it needs it to expand, it will tear. That is what he's trying to explain there. And you know that when you put the wine, old wine, after some time in the bottle, you know, it settles down. The fermentation, the excitement, the fire that disturbs and disturbs the environment, you know, cools down. And later on, it grows starchy. It grows cold. And because there's no activity there in the wine, the bottle gets dried, starchy dry. Now, if you empty the wine that you put inside that bottle, the bottle is still... And then you now come into that old bottle. You now try to... If you leave the old one there and just come and add this one inside. If you pour it inside this new one that is full of life, new revival, excited, it will need expansion. So what will happen? The activities that take place there, even the fight between the new wine and the old wine, what will happen? The activities that will bust the bottle. And so if you don't want the content to spill, your new wine to spill, you look for new bottle that can contain the revival of the... Am I saying something?
Yes, sir.
So that you now understand why Jesus Christ gave that parable of the growing seed. The first thing, it is the life that is traveling. If the life is going to move from the blade, in Mark chapter 4, yes. If it's going to move from the blade to the ear will be formed first. It will not remain there. It's traveling. It has to move away from the blade. The new revelation does not come into the blade. You move to receive it. That is why by the time the life moves out, you see the place turns starchy and dry. Color change. There is no more elasticity. And that is the problem with the denominations. They have no ability to receive any new revelation. And when I say denomination, all, including the denominated followers of the minister of William Branham, otherwise known as end time message believers, they have become denominated. How do I know? They have no room for new revelation. It's a very serious condition. And if you try to put any new revelation, take it to them there, there's going to be a problem. They will fight you. They will kick you out because they know you are coming to scatter their setting. And so William Branham gave an advice. He said, that when you have this new revelation, he said, God did not call us to go and refurbish the denomination. The message is come out of her. Don't try to say, I'm taking this new revelation for my church so that they will see it. You are looking for trouble. It is contrary to the mystery of redemption, the revelation. You are to get out of it. Don't try to refurbish. Don't try to take this truth to you. So you imagine that this big denomination one day that baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they've been on it for years, that they will listen to you. They will never listen to you because they know what you're saying is the truth, though, but don't bring it here. If you bring it here, there will be confusion. And so it is with all settings. So if you have a revelation, what Christ is teaching us here is, you are not to take it there where you are. Don't take any new revelation to any old setting. And that is why, too, when Christ was to bring the grace period, did he use any of the Pharisees? Did he use the 12 disciples that he chose? He chose new bottles. 12 of them new, unknown. And this is what Apostle Paul was talking to the Jews in Romans chapter 10, the first four verses there. You see, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Then he said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, you see, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And the disciples of Jesus Christ, the 120 of them there, they were going to take this revelation to the Jews. Even Apostle Paul, when they entered the synagogue, what was happening to them? They would beat them up. They have no room to take it. They want to tear that place up. And that's the reason why they could not accept them in Jerusalem. They had to leave Jerusalem and run to other places until God came and scattered that city of Jerusalem. They could not. They had no room. But they have knowledge. The denominations have a zeal. They have zeal to serve God, but not according to knowledge. Knowledge is revelation. What revelation did the Jews not have? It's the same revelation that many believers today are grappling with. Apostle Paul broke it down in Hebrews chapter 8. And from verse 7, maybe we read it up to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 8. For if that first covenant, the old covenant, had been faultless, the one they were holding on to, killing animals, living blood, all this one, wash this one, before you eat, wash, before you do this, do that. They were under a covenant, circumcise the foreskin of your flesh, circumcision, and all that they were boasting on. The law of Moses. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant, which we are in now. For finding fault with them, those that first covenant, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws, you see, into their mind and write them in their heart. It will not be in any book anywhere anymore. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now verse 13. He says, in that he said a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. But they had no knowledge of this. You see? So Apostle Paul broke it down again, Colossians chapter 2. And from verse 8, he broke it down. If we read it up to verse 10, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Hey! Apostle Paul called it philosophy because the Jews, they have broken down the law, until the whole thing has become philosophy. Under grace, the same thing. They have broken down grace, until now motivational speakers have taken over. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You saw how one man in the internet is asking that he made investment in the kingdom, and that he doesn't want the kingdom again. They should give him back investment. Of course, if you make investment anywhere and you don't want, they will return your money for you now. And he has evidence. And you gave him the evidence. They print a checkbook, or I don't know what they call that. Each time you pay, there is a stump you hold while the other one goes. The stump you hold while the other one goes. They have certificate to become member. Church of Jesus Christ. See what has been reduced to? They have Bible school to get certificate to become worker in the church. So that they will be bringing money to you. You say it is kingdom investment. Where do you get that language from? Philosophy. Who told you it is a kingdom investment? Invest what? To get what? Our investment was done 2,000 years ago at the cross on Calvary. God invested his son on earth here. We are only to reap that investment. You won't teach them what the Bible says you should teach them. You are now using your philosophy. You are now using your sense. Now your sense has caught up with you. If that man, now that man is now opening it for other people that you people have duped to also go to court. And they can prove it and you return their money to them. Because you told them it's an investment. They have not reaped anything. Now they even say, okay, I don't want the investment again. If you invest anywhere, can't you collect back your shares? So that man, go and collect your investment. Go and collect it. And I hope the rest of you will learn to stop, you know, using all this business sense to be collecting money from people. Now it is caught up with all of you. You see? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Can you see? This is the rudiments of the world. Investment in the kingdom. Invest what? What has man got to invest in the kingdom? Because people don't even know what God did on the cross on Calvary. The greatest investment that God has ever done was he sold his son and released blessings for us. That is the trust that God had for his children. Nothing anymore for any of us to invest. You have to serve him with all you have. And if what you have is money, serve him with your money. If what you have, you know, for the progress of the gospel as you have, and it's not by task, you don't have to keep record. God keeps record of what we do. For those of you looking at me, in my church, I will believe in tithe, but I don't know who pays tithe and who doesn't pay. Who will carry me to court now? Come and prove now. Do you sign anything? Do you sign anything? No receipt. No register of who is putting. Because between you and God, it's an expression of your love for the kingdom. It's not an investment. It is an appreciation to God. Not an investment. It's an offering. And it is called free will offering. So, but you call it investment. So it is no longer free will. Because you're investing to reap. So you see how your corniness now is catching up with all of you. I pray. Because you make caricature of the Christian faith. Somebody called me earlier in the day today. And was, they say, you have become billionaires now. You have forgotten me, an old time friend. And he said, no, you people are millionaires now. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, yes. I told him, brother, you are calling me a thief. That's exactly why are you insulting me? He said, no, I didn't say you're a thief. I said, you are telling me a thief. You know I'm a pastor. And you say I'm a millionaire. That means you are telling me I'm a thief. How can a pastor be a millionaire? That means you are indirectly telling me that I'm stealing from my members. So pastors are thieves. Because any pastor that is a millionaire and all he does is to stay and preach the gospel, he's a thief. Where does he get it from? Unless he tells us where his businesses are. And I should not, because I'm a pastor, that's why I'm a millionaire. I told you asked me what am I doing. I said I'm a pastor. And you say, you people are millionaire. You are telling me I'm a thief. I said, please stop insulting me. I don't like it. I said, oh, please, I'm sorry. And then he was twisting, but I let him know that, no, we are not thieves. But there are thieves, but I'm not among them. You see what they have reduced us to, you know, rudiments of the world are not after Christ. And he said, for in him, what did he say? For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Now listen. And ye are complete. complete in him. Can you see? You are complete. That's why don't allow anybody to deceive you. We are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Please go to verse 16. Then he added here in verse 16, he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Old Testament, all the laws, everything. Because I told you they were serving him without knowledge. Not knowing that these covenants have been done away with. I see some people say they are Sabbath. Some people say they are Jude, their own God, Yahweh, all those funny, funny things. Or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. So don't let anybody say, why are you worshiping on Sunday? Sunday is Sabbath, and all those funny things they talk. All this, you say, they are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. And so he added in Hebrews chapter 10, if we read it from verse 1, we get a picture there. You see? That's why they didn't know, or they didn't have this knowledge. That's why they are still holding on to the old wine. They're still holding on to the old bottle, old wine. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. That is why Apostle Paul explained to them that it needed to be changed. It was not perfect. For they will then not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. You see the defect in the Old Testament? But in those sacrifice, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Why? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the savior of mankind, cometh into the world, what did he say? Sacrifice and all the offering of the under the old covenant, I don't want it again. That will let's not. He said, but a body has thou prepared me. Where did he prepare that body? In the womb of Virgin Mary. He added, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, God has no more pleasure in it. We are now under a new covenant. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, what did I come to do? To do thy will, O God. Above, when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou willest not, neither hath pleasure therein, which are offered by the law under the former covenant. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. What did he do? He taketh away the first covenant that he may establish the second covenant. This is the revelation that the Jews didn't know. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all. They did not understand. While they were there busy, the temple worship, the temple this, even up to now, you see us every time, you know, glory in the one building with 100 capacity, 100,000 capacity, biggest this one, biggest this, big. It's a gathering place. It's not the temple of God. But the one that was under the New Testament was the temple of, under the Old Testament was the temple of God, because his glory was there. But the glory had left and they didn't know. You see? And he gave a key in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And if we read it from verse 10 up to verse 14, maybe we catch something there. He gave it in the Old Testament. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, listen very well, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There, thither, shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your land, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the labor that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. And verse 13 says, take heed to thyself. That's the warning. That thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Not everywhere, but where? In the place which the Lord shall choose. Now he is the one that will choose by himself. In one of thy tribes. Oh, glory be to God. Take note. In one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. And wherever he chooses, becomes his temple. And that's why when Solomon built that temple, the ark was brought in there, and his presence came in there in the Holy of Holies, and that place became the temple of God. It became the temple of God. That is where he placed his name, Yahweh, there. That is where he placed his name. That is the only place. That is where Solomon said, anywhere they are, the Jews, you commit, you pray, look into where this temple is, because that was where God's presence was. He said, Lord, he hear them. But the glory left. And that became an ordinary building. Where is the glory now? Where is God's chosen place of worship? Under the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 gives us a key. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to this prophecy. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, while the messenger is preparing the way, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. While this messenger is preparing the way, the Lord, that this God that you people worship, will suddenly come to his temple. And this temple is the messenger of the covenant. Whom you call temple, so whom is referred to as temple, is the messenger of the covenant. Whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. And he said, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For it's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Now, when was that fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. They read it up to verse 17. Then cometh Jesus. This was the day that prophecy was fulfilled. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Remember, John, his ministry was to prepare the way for the Lord. He said it in John chapter 1. Saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, permit it, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Because prophecy must be fulfilled. Then he permitted him. He suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Water baptism. Baptism is by immersion. Come out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, what was he saying? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you will observe that from that day, Jesus began to tell the people, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Why? The Spirit of God came and dwelt in a man. And that became God's chosen place of worship. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me, because you have to come and worship here. If you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. From that day, Jesus Christ became the temple of God. And from that day that he came out, we can now see where he said, for God was in Christ. You know, reconciling the world to himself. And you will see that the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness of the Godhead dwell. And in chapter 2 verse 9, he said, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And from then on, he became the temple of God. That is why his name, that Jesus, is Yeshua. Why? Because God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. He became the dwelling place of God. So he placed his name there. That's why he said, I come in my Father's name. That is why Jesus is bearing the name of the Father. Remember that Ephesians 3:15 says that is the family name in heaven and on earth, in whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. His name, Yeshua. God saves. Now take note that in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he said something. He said that he will choose the place out of one of the tribes of Israel. Where he has chosen. What did he say? Verse 13 and verse 14. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. That's where I'm going. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, that's where I am going. In where? One of thy tribes. Who is Jesus? Of which tribe is he? Of the tribe of Judah. Perfect. He didn't miss it. He came. That's the emphasis. From the tribe. He's known as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He came from the lineage of Judah. He became God's chosen place of worship. Now. So, but they didn't know it. New wine in new bottles. Old wine, leave them as they are. Get out of them, my people. Come out. They have no such knowledge. And that is why when you see people, the way they take their church auditorium, they make it as if they're even challenging one of the denominations that he goes to worship in a nightclub. And when club finish, then he will come there and rent the place and use. It is actually God to come in there. It is when they land there, the place is supposed to be sanctified if they are true children of God, because the Spirit of God will come there. The truth is, God does not dwell in houses made with my hands. Now the temple of God is you and I. If you have this knowledge, then your emphasis of holiness will be within you, not only when you reach church, you act holy. You will act holy every minute of the day because he's dwelling in you. Makes you his temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 16. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, it's not to go to a church building and go and smoke inside. Say, you have defiled the temple of God. We have our knowledge is more than that. So when you are in the church, you are holy. When you go out, then you continue your nonsense. You lack revelation. This is the knowledge that people don't have, and Christianity has become what it is today. When they are going to church, they clean their mouth, they will bath, they will do everything, and then go there, walk carefully, because they are taught it's a spirit carry over from the temple of Solomon. The temple and the synagogues, they make them look like some holy place. No. We are the temple. And anywhere you go, the temple of God is in you. If you have this knowledge, it will guide how you live your life, how you relate with God. Okay, new wine in new bottles. So don't be surprised why we are talking about the perfecting ministry and people are still bringing quotes of William Branham to us. It is causing ripples among them. There's something new that they where they are too starchy to receive it. So come out from among them, stop fighting them, just leave them alone. The way you left your former places, leave them and follow the true revelation. They think that we are looking for some followership. No, it's a revelation coming from above. Well, with this, we'll come to an end for today. And when next we come, many more parables that we'll be looking at, the parables of Jesus, as we continue in our Rapture Watch series that we call Trimming of the Lamb. Stay tuned and make sure that your lamp is trimmed, for you will not be among the foolish virgins. And may the Lord keep us unto his soon coming, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom. See you again in the next episode.